Well, in a minute, I'll dismiss kids, but 5 minutes after that, we're going to have our sermons. And this morning, it's by a friend of ours, Dave Lenander. Dave and Sandy are members here at Stonebrook for the last couple of years. But Dave's a retired pastor. He's from a sister church of ours in Wisconsin, and they've been with us now for a couple of years. And I have, and several of us pastors have known Dave for decades, and he's been a good friend of ours. And so he's going to talk about the Psalms of praise and thanksgiving this morning. So it's going to be really good. I'm looking forward to that.
Well, good morning. It's a privilege being with you, and it's a privilege to share the Word of God with you, and I appreciate the confidence the pastors have in giving me the pulpit for a week. I do have an advantage, though. You know, pastors, when they're preaching in week in and week out, they seem to, you know, share their stories for illustrations and usually run out of them. But I have 53 years of illustrations no one here has ever heard. So I can draw from a bigger pool. But a couple weeks ago, Pastor Dave was talking about prayer, and he said something very significant, and I found it to be true in my life. It's probably one of the hardest disciplines to exercise as a Christian. And then when Pastor Brad sent out his notice about the teaching series for the summer, it was going to be on prayer. And right away I thought, oh, man. I don't know. You know, I just find it hard many times, especially in interceding. And like Brad was talking about last week, lament, those kinds of things that I just didn't feel strong in. So as I read the topics, came across this one, and giving thanks and praise in the Psalms. I thought, I like that one. And I think I have more victory in this. And so I jumped on it right away. I think I was the first one to respond, said, I want this. So it's exciting, really, to be able to share this great topic with you. Well, taking a look at the Psalms and praise and thanks, really, it's all throughout the Psalms. It's, in one sense, the Psalms are really 150 songs. It was the Israelite hymnal, in essence. And so praise and thanks and music really go hand in hand together, don't they? I really appreciate the worship team and all the work that they do. And even, you know, when you sing, it's just there's a powerful connection with your emotions and with your heart. You know, we sang, how great is our God today. You can just, it just brings your whole body and being into it. And it's wonderful. And that's what the Psalms are about. They're songs. And I had to do, of course, a word study about thanksgiving and thanks. And so I found that they were mentioned about 62 times in the Psalms. And praise is mentioned 122 times. And so when I looked at that, I thought, oh, man, this is overwhelming. How am I going to deal with this? But it's throughout the Psalms. And so really the word psalm comes from the Greek word tehillim, and it just means songs of praise. It's hymns. So all of these were put to music at one time to help the Israelites, God's people, to learn the message in them, and then to sing them, and to draw your being and your life into them. And they were accompanied by music instruments. It's also interesting when you look at praise and psalms. Many times, praise and thanks are listed in the same verse in the Psalms. And so, we really need to encourage our hearts to spend time praising and thanking God. And that's what we're going to look at today. I always like to note that there's a principle that's good to live by. And it says, make first things first. Right? Things that are important, we should do those first. And sometimes difficult when you have your to-do list, right? It's usually on the to-do list, it's easy to do the easy things first, not the first things first. Well, and the same thing is true in prayer. And this first verse I want to share is a powerful one. I think it's a good way to open. It's in Psalm 100, verse 4 and 5. It says this, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. For the Lord is good, and his faithful love endures forever. His faithfulness through all generations. You know, that includes our generation, not just the generation when this was written. And really, the idea here is to the Israelites goes through the temple. What he says, enter your gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. The Israelites and the Jewish people would come to the great temple. And this temple, this is just a diagram of it, but it was an amazing thing. It was one of the great wonders of the world. And there was billions of dollars invested in making it. Everything about it was meant to inspire and to stir your hearts. Remember that the disciples, just before Jesus went to the cross, they looked over the mount and they looked down on this temple and they said, they just marveled. Just the splendor was so great to them. And so this, the scale's hard to imagine, but they could hold in these courts hundreds of thousands of people. And they would come in, and you can imagine the worship services that they had. And they had them every day. They had huge choirs that were on the payroll in one sense. And they started out the day. Seven times a day they would blow these trumpets. And then it could be heard throughout the whole city of Jerusalem. Early in the morning, some of the priests would go out and wait and watch for the dawn. And as soon as the light hit, they blew the trumpets and they opened the gates of the temple. And people would come streaming in to worship. And so the picture here in the Psalm 100 is the idea that when you go into the temple, the first thing we should do is praise our God and give thanks to him. He's the great God that we are worshiping. And I like that image. Now, many of you got a handout, I hope, as you came through the door from the ushers. So today you came to church and you say, oh, great, I got homework. Well, you do, okay. But I just took, because again, this is such an overwhelming task, I took one psalm, and this one I think is particularly suited to doing this exercise. Psalm 136, in essence, the psalmist is giving thanks to God, and he's giving the reason for it. And then every verse ends in, his faithful love endures forever. And it's a great reminder. It's repeated under each time the person worships and thanks God. And it's good to remember in our prayers. You know, many times when we're praying, it's for things, for trials, difficulties. But what this does is it helps set our hearts in the right fashion that God is still in control. He hasn't forgotten us. He loves us. And that will endure throughout eternity. And we need that reminder, don't we? Now, again, I'm not going to go through this all, but I just gave you a little exercise. And what's important when we go into the Psalms and use it to give praise and thanks is just to remember that, you know, we don't need to repeat what they're saying, but to come up with our own thoughts and ideas. And so when we look at this Psalm, verses 1 through 4, God is being thanked and praised for his nature and his character. On who he is. And so I'd encourage you to take this and write down, praise and thank God for five different aspects of his nature. And then verses 5 through 9, the psalmist is praising God for his being the creator and his creation. So I'd like you to praise and thank God and write down five aspects of his creation. And then verses 10 through 26, God's wonders were done for his people. And he recounts these. And over in the scriptures, the Jewish people were taught to remember the miraculous great deeds that God had done on their behalf. And so they're always, in fact, they put them into their worship. You know, Passover, every year. They still, to this day, practice that God delivered them. He brought them out with a mighty hand. And they were killing the Jewish firstborn, and God brought them out by putting to death the firstborn of Egypt. And they remember that God brought them out with a great hand. They're enslavers. He overcame them. And so, the last thing, write down five wonders and praise and thanks God for things that He has done in your life. We're going to look at these in a little bit more detail now, but this is just an exercise for you, and I hope that you'll do it as we grow in that. But what I'd like to do now for the rest of the time is just go through and talk about our hearts. You know, more than the method, we can take the, you know, as I mentioned, there's hundreds of verses on praise and thanks in the Psalms. But I think what's more important is that we grow our hearts and boost our praise and thanks to God through growing two attitudes that I think are critical in us just responding to God with praise and thanksgiving. And those two attitudes are, one, gratitude, and the other is awe. Okay, what's the attitude of gratitude? I like how they rhyme. Okay, in essence, it's giving thanks to God. But the definition here is the quality of being thankful, readiness to show appreciation. I like that word, appreciation. We have appreciation for who God is and what He does. And a return kindness back to God for the kindness He shows us. Synonyms for this, for gratitude is gratefulness, thankfulness, appreciation, recognition. I think that's important, is observing and recognizing His goodness and acknowledging it, respecting it. And we're indebted to the Lord for all the good things that He has done for us. And so really recognizing all things come from Him. Everything comes from God as at the heart of just being thankful. In 1 Chronicles 29, King David, he said this, "But who am I and who are my people that we should be able to give as generously as this? For everything comes from You, and we have given You only what comes from Your own hand." That attitude is powerful, isn't it? A lot of times we think, you know, that so much of what we have comes from God, comes from our own efforts. And yeah, we need to work, but God has enabled us to do that. So one of the things that I do in applying that first verse of entering His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise is that I show on here in this next slide something I do. And again, I have a daily quiet time. We encourage people, Christians, to develop devotions in their day. And I just make a simple Word document for 7 days in a week, and I refresh it every week, and I put the date on it, and I use this thing called a SOAP principle. First of all, I get to find a scripture and write it down. I make some observations about it, and then I think about how I can apply it, and then I pray. And so then I have a list of things to pray for, but down at the bottom, I have thanks. And this is the thing I do first before I go into the scriptures, is I mentally go through yesterday. I think about everything that happened the day before, and I usually find, I don't know, 4, 5, 6 things that I thought, boy, I'm really thankful for that. Or God intervened some way to do something to bless me, and then I write it down. And many of them are little things, seemingly little things. Sometimes they're big, and sometimes they're very simple. But God is at work, and he's involved in our lives. He's involved in your life. And so many times we miss it, and we overlook it because we just get busy in the day. And I think that's the importance of this, is we think through on how God is active in my life. And again, it's not just big things, but it can be small things. I'm going to give you two examples of things I wrote down the last couple of weeks. The first one was I had a fasting blood draw that for just a regular, checkup that I had at the doctor. And so normally I get up, I'm an early riser, I get up and I make coffee, and I eat my breakfast between 5 and 6 in the morning. And so I look forward to that, and I'm pretty happy till noon. But so fasting blood draw, I had to wait, couldn't eat. And so, of course, then I went into the clinic, and they finally got my blood draw about 8:30 in the morning. And so I was really hungry. And before I left, I told Sandy, I'm going to stop at Casey's, and I'm going to get a piece of breakfast pizza and a hazelnut coffee. And I was really looking forward to it. Well, she then said, she likes cinnamon sugar donuts. Casey, cinnamon sugar, would you pick me up a cinnamon sugar donut? I said, sure. Well, of course, I went to the blood draw, and there was all kinds of people there, and I was, excited that I was going to get done and go to get my breakfast pizza. So I got to Casey's, and I'm about drooling and eager to go in, and wouldn't you know it, I totally forgot her request. My poor wife. I was so enamored with my hunger and my desires that I could just taste that breakfast pizza and that hazelnut coffee. So as I got to the door, I opened the door. There was a young mom and her child coming through the door. And they were talking about getting her a donut. And right away, I remembered my wife's request. And I brought her a donut. And she didn't know I hadn't forgot her until today. But that was on my list of thankfulness for that day. And you see that? God is active. And little things like that, he helps us with. Another example, my daughter Naomi asked me to brush hog one of the pastures. Okay. I guess you could brush hog a pastor once in a while. But so I said, oh, sure. Well, then I thought, but I had done something to it, and I needed a couple little parts for it, a couple little tension pins. And, this is only going to take 45 minutes. Well, then I thought, oh, no, I got to fix that. So then I ran out. I went over to Tyson's, and they didn't have them. I needed one-inch tension pins, just a little thing like this. And they didn't. I thought, this is a farm store. And all they had, the biggest ones were 3/4 inch. And so, bummer. So then I went over to Menards, and they've got a bunch of hardware. And they didn't have anything like that. So then I thought, I'm not going to run around. I got on my phone in the parking lot of Menards, and I called over to Farm Supply. If anybody's got them, Farm Supply and Boone's going to have them. Well, he went back, and after 15 minutes, he came back and said, we only have 3/8 inch. And then I was thinking, and then I tried Baumgars. And then they didn't have them, and I thought, this 45-minute project's going to take me 3 days. And so then I thought, one last shot. I called Ace Hardware from Menards parking lot. And he went back and looked at their supplies, and he came back and said, all we got is 3/8. And I thought, but then he said, why don't you try Hokel Machine? Oh, Okay, I hadn't thought of that. And so, sure enough, I went over to Hokel Machine. It wasn't very far away. Went in there. They came out with 2 half-inch tension pins for 50 cents a piece. You know, so I ran back home, put them in, and mowed the pasture. And right away, my thought was, God, I never thought of that. Thank you that that clerk put that thought out there. See, that's a little thing. But to me, I get excited about that because God is involved in my daily life and he knows our needs and he inserts himself in our lives. And when we become alert to it, it's a wonderful thing to just, you know, be able to thank God for his involvement in my life. That always really excites me. So that's a little bit about growing in the attitude of gratitude, where we're observing and seeing around us some of the things that are happening. Now, the second thing I think that's really important, second attitude that will help us grow in the area of praise, is the attitude of awe, okay? Giving praise to God will come natural when we have a sense of God's greatness and we feel a sense of awe in our life. Definition, a feeling of reverential respect mixed with fear or wonder. Some of the synonyms are wonderment, amazement, astonishment, admiration, awestruck, wonderstruck. Those are things God likes to do in our lives. Now, say the word awe. Okay, awe. Draw it out. Awe. Right? Doesn't it? Okay. Doesn't it just seem to emphasize, right, the emotion with it? Can you go to the next picture? There. Right? That's the idea that you kind of get from a sense of awe. Well, praise flows from our sense of awe in 2 primary areas, even as we saw in Psalm 136, his work of creation, and what we need to do there is observe, and the second, his work in creation, and that's where we need to remember what he's done. God, our Creator. First of all, God, our Creator. Psalm 19, 1 through 3. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the expanse proclaims the work of his hands. Day after day, they pour out speech, and night after night, they communicate knowledge. There is no speech, nor are there words. Their voice is not heard. See that? All around us, God put this amazing creation, and all of it declares his incredible glory. And yet, what's interesting at the end there, psalmist said, their voice is not heard. Isn't that something? Today, you know, the primary theories about our existence are naturalism and evolution. Devil's scheme to totally eliminate. Naturalism is just basically, we define God out of existence. We ignore. There is no God. No. You can't even presume that. You can't think that. You can't have faith in that. Everything has come about through random chance. And it's just, the world around us cries out against that. This world is so finely tuned and it is so intricately designed, and even the smallest things that happening by chance it's impossible. And it screams at us that there's a designer, a great designer, a great creator. And we have to just be students of it. And there's a couple things that Sandy and I do to remind ourselves and to be refreshed in God's creation and to stir us. And one of them is we read creation literature. I brought one of them. There's four of these. It's a devotional in 365 days of the year. There is a devotional about something in creation that's amazing. And there's four of them. So we go through this on a cycle of 4 years. So every day we're getting one shot of a creation marvel. And I just want to read to you one excerpt that I thought was truly amazing. They brought up the fact that in southern Africa, there are termites, and they create these mounds which they live in. They can grow to 10 feet in height and hold colonies of 15,000 adult termites. Although the outside air temperature in this area, part of Africa, ranges from 35 to 104 degrees Fahrenheit, the internal temperature of their mounds never fluctuates between 87 degrees Fahrenheit plus or minus 1 degree. Isn't that amazing? Think about that. And this is the temperature required to keep the fungus, which is their food source, alive. How do they maintain this tight temperature control? They constantly open and close intricate series of ventilation vents throughout the mound. The network of tunnels resembles veins and arteries of circulation system and works to move the air and the corresponding heat to maintain perfectly internal mound temperatures. Is that amazing? I thought that was astounding. There's a lot of smart engineers in here. I think a good exercise for us would be is have them come into here, to Stonebrook, and without electricity, cool the building to 1 degree plus or minus. Now that would be something. But you know, God put within these little creatures that we would step on and crunch amazing, amazing things. And throughout his world, we need to be observers of it. It truly is amazing. A couple weeks ago, we have a cottage on the St. Croix River. That's the four of them. And I went out, and it about 5 o'clock in the morning, it was one of the most magnificent sunrises I'd ever seen. And the textures on it, and it kept changing. It was like a moving picture. And every few seconds, it was a little different. And it just went on for 15, 20 minutes. And I'm not a photographer. I just had to start taking pictures of it because it was so marvelous. And, they're going on around us all the time. God's creative work and his hand is marvelous. And it shows, and it's truly a wonderful thing. And even just one of the other things we do is kind of just go out and take a walk. And that's a stalk of wheat, you know, and this is a weed I just picked this morning, but they kind of look alike, you know. When you have a garden, it's pretty amazing that they have all these plants that mimic the good ones that we can eat, and it sends up nasty ones. That came from the curse, but, you know, I was walking once and having a little time with the Lord, and I just picked something and said, you know, everything God creates reproduces itself. That's a marvel. And I found a little stick of metal that somebody had made, man-made, and it was rusting. And I thought, this thing can't reproduce itself. This is a marvel. Everything God makes reproduces itself. And that in itself is an incredible marvel. So, keep an eye out. Observe the world we live in and marvel. And as we do, it produces a sense of awe. And take that and turn that into praise to our great God. So the second thing I want to talk about in just developing a sense of awe is God's work in creation. And that's where the people of Israel, they kept going back to the things God had done in history. And we can do that as well. And we marvel and we tell the story of David and Goliath and the Red Sea opening up. But also beyond that, God wants to do marvels in our life so that we stand in awe of him. Last week, I appreciated the verse we read. I thought, that's just perfect for this week. And I'm going to read it again. Psalm 77, 11 through 14. I will remember the Lord's works. Yes, I will remember your ancient wonders. I will reflect on all you have done and meditate on your actions. God, your way is holy. What God is great like you? You are the one who works wonders. You revealed your strength among the peoples. He not only says, I'll remember the ancient wonders, he says, you are a God who works wonders, not worked wonders. You are a God that works wonders. He works wonders today. And I have 53 years of wonders that I've seen God do, and I love to tell them. I'm going to give you two of them very quickly. I'm running out of time, but this first one was pretty amazing. 25 years ago, I was pastoring a church. It was called Cedar Creek. And I'll give you a little brief view here, if you can move through that. That's just me standing by the sign there. Move on to the next one. You know, when you start out as a church, you have a small group of people. It's kind of hard to find facilities. Well, we had a number of different facilities. First one was the church bought a house, and some of the young men in the church lived there. And there was a house rented across the street. The young women lived there. And we met in the living room. Well, then we kind of outgrew that, so we moved on to this is a funeral home. Have you ever heard of church meeting in a funeral? It led to some interesting things. The kids would go in the back room and find caskets. But, you know, you have to do what you have to do. And then eventually we traded the house for an old church building. But there was some limitations. It was an old building and there was very little parking. But we met there for a few years. And so while we were there, some of the guys, this was in a downtown area. It was on a street that was out of the way. Five guys, pastors, and a few guys got together and said, we like the Lord to help us increase our influence and effectiveness with the gospel in this community. So what do we do? So we had this building, and it was paid for. And we had $15,000. And there was only about 50 adults. And most were, you know, young families that didn't have a lot of extra money. So how do we do this? What are we going to do? Well, we just started praying. And then through some of the just searching out what's available in the community, we found an interesting thing that was happening. The Department of Transportation, WISDOT, was going to tear down a building. And it was in the right-of-way of a four-lane bypass that was going through the heart of the city. And so I knew some of the people at the DOT, so I called them up. And it was going to happen in 4 years. So found out, oh, there's 4 years. What would you think about leasing it to us? So we leased it for 4 years, knowing it was going to be torn down at the end of the 4 years. But we got it for like about a fourth of the market rate. And it was good for them. They made some money on the building, and we had a place to meet. Well, about 2 years into it, we thought, they're going to tear this building down. And so what if we bought it and moved it? It was a 10,000-square-foot building that was built new maybe 15 years before at a cost of $750,000. And so that's what it looked like, but it was in a different location. And so we went to the bid, got it for $15,000, and just went about. It was kind of a crazy idea because well, the two pastors with me were younger, and so they started. We didn't have a lot of money. So I became the general contractor, even though I wasn't trained in that. But I had some experience related to it. And then they did the work of pastoring for that 1 year. And so my job was to get the building moved and put it back together. We did. So, again, we didn't have a lot of money. And we had one person that came in with $300,000. So that enabled us to buy a piece of property. If you go back to that one there, the previous one. No, the previous one. There you go. Yeah, the star there on the left is where the building was. And the star to the right is where we ended up putting it. So, it was just amazing the different miracles that happened during that process. The developer redesigned a subdivision. He had it all listed with the state, and we were able to buy 6 acres, only 1,000 feet from the building. We found a company to cut the building in half, and we did a lot of the work, cut the building in half. And then it was moved in two parts, set down. Over that time period, it was toward the end, coming to a Wisconsin winter. And September through the end of October was 20 degrees above normal. And on the last day, the section that was put down, we had a group from Stonebrook here. My son Ben brought up 25 people from this church, and we put it back together, put the roof together, and the next day it snowed and stayed for 5 months, but we were able to work on it all winter. And so it was amazing. We put it together with in-house labor, and what was amazing, it was covered. God not only did an unusual thing, but he did it before the city. We were covered by regional and national news. We had a 3-minute take when we moved the building on the TV. I was getting ready to go to work that day. I get called and they said, "This is Associated Press." And so they wanted to interview me for a national feed. And the idea there was they've heard a lot about church splits, but this was a good church split. And so, the Lord covered it. It was pretty amazing. But in the end, we spent $448,000 and got into the building, and it was debt-free. And since that time, they added 10 more acres in the heart of the city. I mean, this is just near the regional mall, right on two major roads. And we started out with $15,000, two of the busiest highways. And today, they're a multi-million-dollar facility, debt-free. And it was pretty amazing. So this is one thing about mine. Is I don't know if you can see it there. That was on the front page of the Leader Telegram, the regional newspaper. And it's got half the building over there. They're moving this half. And I'm standing there with my hands in my pockets. That's why my wife likes that. But, we have it in our office to remind me that God does wonders. He does wonders today, and he's a great God. And as we marvel at the things that he does, he stirs our hearts to give him praise. I had one more illustration, but I've ran over 2 minutes. That was our dirt, just real quick last year, because God's still doing wonders in our life. We moved down here just quickly. We moved down here and put a house on our daughter and son-in-law's property next to them. And last year, we were putting it back together. And one of the last things was a needed lawn. And so it was a long process. They were building a bridge down by us, rebuilding it. And I saw all this beautiful dirt down there. And so I called up the contractor and said, "Hey, if you got extra dirt at the end of the project, you could truck it real cheaply over 1 mile. And he said, "No, we're supposed to bring 80 yards in, not take it out." Well, just short story. At the end of this project, I get a call and says, "You want some dirt? You still want some dirt?" and he brought in, he gave me 6 trailer loads first. Then 2 days later, he said, "I rented a dump truck. And would you still like the dirt?" And he brought in 6 dump truck loads, 60 cubic yards of black dirt, dumped it in my front yard where I needed it, probably a value of $4,000 to $5,000, and it was free. And so, again, God continues to do wonders, and I praise him. Guys, if you're a believer here today, you have the Spirit of Almighty God living within your heart. And he wants to do wonders in and through your life. No, there's no one that's ordinary common. And, you know, when you recognize and see the things that he's doing in and around you and through him, it really stirs our praise and thanksgiving. And I want to praise and thank him today. Thanks for your being willing to listen to me go on about my stories here. And really just stir you and challenge you to look for the wonders of God so that we all might really tell his story to the ones around us. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you, God. You are worthy of all our praise and thanksgiving. Thank you for each one here. May from Stonebrook Church and beyond, even all the churches today, would lift up our voices and give you honor and praise that you deserve. And so we thank you now in Jesus' name. Amen.